Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Bajaj Electricals Limited, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Dhruv Jain.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bajaj Electricals 2Q FY24 earnings call. From the management side, today we have with us Mr. Anuj Poddar, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, the Chief Financial Officer of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Dhruv, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining this call. It has been a tough quarter. When I say tough quarter, it's two reasons. They're more external factors. One is a weak consumer sentiment in the marketplace, particularly for discretionary products. And second, there's a slight delay in the festive season this year, with a little bit of a cusp between Q2 and Q3, unlike last year. That said, you know, I believe we continue to make gains on our strategic objectives and initiatives. We've not stopped on that, primarily around the strengthening of our brand, all the brand initiatives that you see, as well as on product launches. In the quarter gone by, as you've seen in the deck, we've had over 100 products launched in the consumer business, and similarly, a large set of products launched in our lighting solutions segment. In terms of category gains, we've seen market share gains in fans, coolers, and mixers, which are all core critical categories for us. At the channel front, while general trade has been soft, a lot of that is because of weakness in the rural market and the lower end of the urban markets. In the more modern channels, which is e-commerce, modern trade, as well as institutional government business, we've seen very handsome double-digit growth over 20%, as we've seen laid out in the deck, and that bodes well for us. Finally, our cash flow continues to be positive in this environment. And just a little heads up on Q3. Q3 has started on a positive note. October has trended positive, so we are hopeful for a better Q3. With that, I will hand it back to you and the moderator for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. So can you first give us the growth or the degrowth in appliances, fans, and washers separately?
So, Natasha, thank you. So we've had a degrowth in appliances in very low double digits, but also a double-digit growth in fans, and washers has been flat.
Okay. All right. So what I want to understand is while, you know, we've been consciously building our premium product portfolio, then why are we not seeing some kind of material impact in the margin? Positive impact, rather. Because, I believe these premium portfolio should get in some kind of operating leverage benefits, right, in the margin. So why is that not happening?
So I'll answer it the other way, Natasha, and it's important for you to go and track, which is what we've been look at from a two-year trajectory and look at FY 2022 margins, 2023 margins, and even the first half that is out this year for us and competition. The reality is there's been a very steep or sharp margin contraction across the sector. And if you look at that versus us, you will see everybody having contracted margins extremely sharply except us. So in a reverse way, we've actually gained margins, but some of that is lost because of tactical pricing things. In a soft and weak market, I think there's very heavy discounting that all players are resorting to. We are also having to engage in some of that to protect our market shares. But net-net, the result of that, I do believe we balanced out the top line versus discounting versus margins better than all of competition. We are tracking that every quarter, and therefore, going back to my point, if you look at that over the last 2 years, our contraction or impact on our margins has been the least versus others have significantly contracted. And the reason for that possibly is because in reality, our margins have expanded, but then gone back in the form of tactical things. That said, I do believe these are all signs of a weak demand environment. As soon as demand picks up, you know, I think you will see a benefit in top line. A lot of that will flow directly to the bottom line, as well as some of this race to the bottom on discounting will stop. And I do think some of these are short-term quick wins that will happen in a healthy market.
Understood, sir. So, if you could just tell us how the BLDC fans portfolio did for you.
So, Natasha, we don't call out BLDC separately. Having said that, we are a later entrant into BLDC. We continue to see an uptick in that. Overall premium fan segment for us has been about 20% holding out there. And the other end, the sub-economy, which used to be a large percentage, is at about 55% contribution for us.
Understood. And so lastly, what...
Dhruv, I seem to have lost Natasha. Hello?
Hello, I think Natasha has dropped the call. So we'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question here would be, if we look at you, obviously, the initial opening remarks you highlighted, like Q3 has started on an encouraging note. So obviously, a lot of demand would have been driven from the festive demand. However, when I look at the base quarter, your fan sales were extremely strong in 3Q of FY23. So can you throw some light, like probably how we are looking at 3Q in specific, given that the base is extremely high, and how do we see kitchen appliances to ramp up during the quarter led by festive demand?
Sure, Manoj. So I'll just share a little more, you know, qualitative commentary on this one.
Yes.
Firstly, if we look at the last 3 to 4 quarters, what has been a drag in the industrial sectors in kitchen appliances in particular, I think it's been almost 4 quarters that kitchen has been doing weakly. And given our contribution from appliances and kitchen is higher amongst peers, the impact on us has been adverse or, you know, more impact on us, point one. Point two, therefore, you know, the fact that we're holding out numbers is because of our, you know, premiumization, other things that we're doing, including mixers in particular, has seen some traction against these headwinds and kitchen appliances overall. Second, on fans, it's been a little more volatile, more because of star ratings, etc. That said, like you called out last year, Q3, as well as over the last 2-3 quarters, we managed to continue to grow fans, including in this Q2, at double digits, more because of our new launches and other endeavors that we've been doing. To your point, specifically on last year, Q3, if I remember correct, we were 64%. Also gaze and fan. But mind you, that was off a very small base. Q3 is not a big base for fans, so I wouldn't read too much into that. And therefore, if you look at Y on Y Q3, fans is the smallest component of that. I think appliances, including water heaters, really needs to kick in. And that part, you know, coming back to so far what we've seen, October trend has been positive, particularly post-Shraddh, post-15th October. And that is again led by tertiary demand. So I'm not talking primary, but secondary and tertiary demand, we've seen good, encouraging signs in October so far, which, you know, gives us little comfort on primary following and continue to hold out. The only watch out for us right now is how does winter pan out, when does winter set in. Assuming winter sets in time, water heaters is a big, you know, driver of sales in Q3, then we should be in a good wicket. Winter or the weather being the single biggest factor that we look at in this quarter.
Right. Sir, one more structural question on the demand side. So if you look at specifically for last 4 quarters, demand has been very muted. But probably if you look at the lackluster growth has been for more than 4 quarters, it has been a long period. And that's why even our performance probably led by external factors, we have been not able to achieve the desired target. How do you see actually demand reviving? What are the key macro parameters that gives you confidence that we are moving in the industry is moving in the right direction and we are very close to demand revival? And are you seeing any early green shoots for that?
So Manoj, I'll hold off on commentary on future projection market, because that's not a controllable for us. Your guess is as good as mine. That said, I will tell you the parameters that I track, the data points, which is not the GDP. I think the GDP is the biggest misnomer on addressing state of economy for consumption. Okay? Currently, it's being led, you know, again, an economist tell you, more by banking, NBFC, infra, capex, other sectors. Consumption is not falling. So I think what's more important to track consumption story is really household savings, income, employment, jobs, that kind of data. That data has been weak for a while, but that is where I'm starting to see some positive traction. If you look at jobs, and I've shared this in the past, you know, there used to be 90 million pre-COVID. In COVID, they'd gone as low as 60 million till the start of this year. We were yet at 70-odd million till we reached up to 80-90. I've just seen the data today for September. That's at 91 million. So that 90 million threshold of jobs is an important threshold to be above for demand to kick in. The other flip side of that is unemployment rate. Unemployment, there's two sets of data out there in the market. One set of data is pointing to yet relatively higher unemployment rates. But I would yet say while percentage of unemployment may be not the most comfortable, I think if jobs are good, then at least somewhere there's a purchasing power coming. The third important data really is the interest rates. And that is really putting a squeeze on discretionary spends. With high interest rates, the EMI have gone up for most households, and therefore disposable income has gotten squeezed. That's the one parameter that needs to change for real spending power to come in. That's not a controllable for us. So, you know, strategically, we have to just keep biding our time for that and keep strengthening. And as that starts to correct or at least baseline itself without increasing more, then people will come back to spending. Right now, I think you're all hurting from that. So to me, these are the more direct parameters linked to consumption that we are tracking, and which gives us a little more, you know, insight into why the demand is weak. Lastly, actually, to that is rural incomes, rural, you know, segment. I think that, again, we look at certain parameters if that comes back. So these are all the non-controllables. For us, coming back to your question, you know, as we continue to strengthen our portfolio mix, like I said, when we look at the internal mix data and, you know, our secondary market research, syndicated research, we are seeing gains in market share, either at a category level, the ones I called out were fans, mixers, and coolers. We will see what happens in water heaters. By Q3, Q4, we should see some positive traction there. And at least in the channels that are doing well. So general trade is not doing well, but if you look at the alternate channels that I called out, e-commerce, modern trade, etc., we are gaining share in that. So to me, those underlying metrics are strong, and therefore when the headwinds convert to tailwind, then we do expect a better go forward on that.
Right, sir. So thanks for this detailed one. I will get back in the queue. I have a few more questions.
Thank you, Manoj.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kazare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Anuj. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. Now, I have a couple of questions, maybe first on the financial side. Now, you all have a lean balance sheet, you know, with practically no debt and, you know, very limited change in the asset base. Still, we've seen increase in your interest cost and depreciation, and I think you've touched on this aspect in your presentation. But how do you see, do you think that this expenditure is something which will be stable at these levels, or you see that these will fluctuate based on, you know, the, how the business moves?
So, Rahul, E.C. Prasad here. So,
yeah.
If you look at the financing element, there are two components to it. One is the vendor financing. We are operating about 800 crores worth of line on vendor financing. So you have to also look at the income side, where there is a treasury income of about 5 crores sitting there. So net-net, we are operating at about net interest of about 3 crores for operating an 800 crores line, which will continue. But if you actually look at the cost which I'm paying, it's actually very, very small. You know, it's about 3.5% cost that I pay for the vendor financing, which is very lucrative.
Now, I'll just add to that, you know, we've had a payout, obviously, to Badger with the split of the balance sheet. But obviously, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, that cash balance will continue to increase. We would have this quarter also except for the payout. So over time, you know, as that balance sheet keeps getting stronger, that ratio will flip over. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the second question I have is on, you know, could you talk about your A&P spending that you've done in the second quarter and first half, you know, given we are basically facing weak consumer sentiment or demand, and connected with this, you know, also the logistical transition back from Mahindra Logistics to your, you know, any benefits, cost saving that you have seen due to this transition? So that's the second question.
So on the A&P spend, Rahul, this quarter is about 3%. Y on Y, I think last year was 2.3. Q1, I don't remember the number, but I think it was 2.5 or 6. So this quarter is slightly higher. So that's built into these numbers. I think at 3%, we kind of balanced out between, we would, if the demand situation was good, then we would spend more. But beyond this, certain spend is not giving ROI on, you know, converting to sales, but it is yet healthy enough for us to maintain our brand push that we're doing, given the strengthening that we are at in terms of brands. Okay. Coming to logistics, and I probably would have shared this in a previous quarter call also, I think there's two aspects to the transition back from outsourced party to ourselves. One is to, we did have service level and pure operational issues and logistics with the service provider, which is the reason to have brought it back. So our first strategic initiative or imperative was to make sure that service levels drastically improve before we focus on the financial metrics of that. So in a way, we over-engineered and over-solved for that at a high cost when we took over. And that has been built into the numbers to make sure service levels and the flow of goods is good. That is extremely good. We are perfect like we used to be before the transition out. So we've corrected for the issues that we faced on that. That said, now month on month, we are starting to optimize the actual financial efficiency metrics on logistics. The first results of that you'll start seeing in Q3 because we had, as part of the handover, takeover and transition, certain lock-ins on warehouse and other contracts. The first set of that starts releasing this October. So the first Q3 will start seeing some optimization on logistics cost. But we have a roadmap from here right for the next 18 months on optimization of logistics cost. I think you should see about a 1 percentage point improvement by this March and about a 2 to 2.5 percentage point improvement by March 25 on logistics. We have a clear action plan and a bottom-up calculation of how that will be derived here.
Okay, that's that'll be great. Now, my last question is on the market share. In your opening comment, you did talk about market share gain. Possible to quantify some of them in some categories that you had seen market share gains?
No, so Rahul, to be honest, we've never put out market shares. This is secondary syndicated data. So we look at that, you know, for our internal purposes, but not data that we put out here. But we're saying that we say that with a level of, you know, assurance or accuracy that we gain share in these categories here.
Okay. So it's not quantitatively, qualitatively, you know, that you've seen a significant ramp up in a particular category. Is that a qualitative angle that you can
So let's say fans, let me call it fans and coolers because that's more visible. If you look at our growth over 2 years, etc., it's clear, consistent growth in fans that we've had. And that's obviously translating to market share gains. And every quarter we've been clearly calling out our numbers. So we're seeing strong double-digit growth in fans. So that's obviously leading to market share gain. I don't think that's representative of all players, at least not quarter on quarter. Everybody's had greater volatility. We're seeing that. And we're also seeing that if we're on channel checks, etc., that Bajaj is becoming a player across fan segments, which we were not in the past year. You'll also see some push from us on the new brand next that we launched coming summer. So that, like we said, is a soft launch, but you will see some more traction coming summer on fans. The other category that we've had very visible, you know, market share gains is coolers. We used to be number 4 player. We had a number 2 player. In this quarter, we've had extremely, extremely high double-digit growth in coolers, and I hope we'll continue maintaining that trend. Mixers is less evident because we were already leaders, and this is a category that has been overall seeing pressure or contraction. So in that, while we have gains, if you again look at some of the new mixers we've launched, you know, the 750, 800 watts, Ninja series in particular, you know, you go do your channel checks, you'll see very good feedback on that. Again, we've launched something called military grade jars, etc. These are giving us flip and reason to buy and reason to gain share. But that will be more visible as the category grows, then that gains will be more visible. The fourth one that I called out, but we have to wait to see that season kick in, is water heaters. So I'm hopeful that as that season kicks in, you will see that in Q3 and Q4.
And just to confirm, next is going to be restricted only to fans category, right? You're not extending next to other product categories.
No, it's a fans exclusive brand.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Thank you very much and all the very best.
The test for that will be in the coming summer. So.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
But by the way, if I may plug, I must plug each of you in the call. Please go buy a next fan. Tell us. We'll help you do that. Give us genuine product feedback. We're extremely proud of that and confident of that product. The product is good. That's your best test, not what we are saying. see the product for yourself, which is superior technologically and design-wise. Yeah. If that's right, you can bet your life that the market will pay us for it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First question was on the gross margin. So obviously, while overall gross margins continue to be flattish, you know, on a YOY basis, if you can give us some sense of how this would have moved at a category level and a channel specific level. So just trying to, you know, de-average that gross margin number further, and where are the gains and losses that we would have made on the gross margin lines in the last couple of quarters.
So Anirudh, if I were to try and give a generic answer to this one, I think like for like basis, gross margin actually has expanded 4 to 5 percentage points. And I think that more from if I were to take a similar ASP for that product category that used to prevail in the marketplace earlier, or our cost structures for that or product mix. That said, some of that gain is lost back in the market because of the discounts, and the, why I'm able to call that out, sometimes those discounts not at a ASP level, but at a scheme level to actually get the sales and market share back in, which is really common across the sector. So if you look at a product SKU level, our gross margins have expanded by 4 to 5 percentage points. But a scheme level or volume level, some of these are given back to the market. And the reason we are able to overall, therefore, to my earlier comment, if you look at a two-year trajectory on margins, have had the least impact versus competition is because we've actually fundamentally gained on our first level margins.
Right. And any impact of the channel mix changing from GT to alternate? I mean, our alternate growth continues to be strong even on a reasonably large base now, right? So any impact that has on the gross margins?
No, I don't think channels really have a bearing on the margins. I do think the product mix does vary a little bit on channels. Obviously, general trade has, because of the rural contribution, may not be as high indexed as modern trade. But that's really a function of the market or channel penetration, not so much of a pricing strategy. So I'm assuming your question is more linked to pricing strategy, so we don't have a bias from that perspective or basis on different channels.
Understood. So eventually, how should we look at margins, right? So we had an expectation earlier of gaining about 100 bps odd on margins every year as we move ahead in 2-3 years. So does that still hold in your view, and what will drive this? Is it just the missing growth which you expect will come back and that will drive margin expansion, or is there something else also that you are looking at?
So I will come back to my same comment, Anirudh. If you look at us, if you look at what's happened in the sector margins have collapsed significantly. We've held out. So had that not happened, our margins have actually expanded, because there's no way for us to have held out margins otherwise, except because inherently they've expanded, because we have to participate in the same pricing tactics in the marketplace. Okay, that's point one. Point two, therefore, I think some of this is tactical short-term. When the market comes back, by default, these will come back. These are the signs of weak consumption sentiment. Point three is we're not going to rest on that. Like I called out on logistics, we have a couple of other levers that will continue to drive margins for us. So we will stay on that path, and we're confident about that path.
Understood. Final question was on the LED side. So LED, how are we looking at the scenario now? So obviously, industry growth as a whole has been weak since some time. But how do you look at the pricing side now? How are we doing, particularly on the product and distribution front, both of which we were trying to realize?
So if I talk about lighting, I split that up into consumer and B2B lighting. On the consumer lighting, there is a headwind in form of LED price erosion, about 15-20%. Based on DOB, etc. technology. The technology is probably, again, if I have to average it out, 8 to 10% cost saving, but about 15 to 20% price cut in the marketplace. Okay, so I think that's the headwind you're seeing in the B2C segment across the industry. I do think some of that will stabilize. For us, what is important in B2C is just a product portfolio expansion. We've shared some of those products in this quarterly deck. And again, if you go do a channel checks, etc., you'll see our whole product range. We're happy to share that with you into the product catalogs, etc. How our product range and consumer lighting is significantly expanded. And I think as we said that, that expansion only happened in the last 2-3 quarters. I think next 2-3 years, you should see consistent growth in the consumer lighting business on the back of the product range and the distribution that is being put in place, or GTM being put in place for that. Yeah. Coming to professional lighting side, I think that's more an order book based thing. In Q2, some of our revenue booking got booked or rather got deferred from Q2 to Q3 in terms of this timing of invoicing and dispatch or installation or projects, etc. I do expect Q3 in professional lighting to actually pick up from where we are right now.
Right. And this order book number that has been shared, what would be the execution time period?
About 6 months, but this is the October 1 number that we've shared. There is more orders since then. But you assume on lighting in general at a project level, about a 6 month order book. But that's not static, that's constantly getting executed and more getting added to it. So.
Got it. So just final thing to wrap up, essentially the point was that if we have a more normalized growth in H2 of this year,
yes,
margins kind of stabilize.
Yeah, so margin expansion, to put it the other way, will, if you have normalized growth, then margin growth or absolutes will be much, in percentage terms, will be higher than the top line, because you will see a reversal of, right now you're seeing operating deleverage, you will see operating leverage kick in, you know, top line growth. That's separate from our own internal improvements that we're working towards.
Got it. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we have seen that almost all players are doing excessive discounting. So do you see that probably almost nobody is having any additional growth rates? So is so much discounting really required, or what should be the way forward in a way to gain market share or to grow at a really faster rate? Because the discounting is going on for quite some period of time, but almost no player has achieved any material benefit as such. Secondly, in terms of what are the possible ways to differentiate than the competition, instead of just doing discounting in line with the competition that we are doing, and what has been the effort of that or the benefit of that? Yeah, thank you. That's it from my side.
Actually, very good question, Anirudh. You know, let me answer this. Number one, discounting is the easiest tactical response to a weak marketplace. Okay? I think that's not a strong player's response. Typically, that's a weak player's response, a weak industry response, okay, where the industry is not able to defend itself. I do think it is, our philosophy has always been that we don't lead the discounting, we don't, you know, initiate or trigger the discounting, because we are not in favor of that. Because, and I'll tell you why, because discounting, at least in our sector, is not, we're not a sector that has got elasticity of demand. If I discount a fan, if you need a fan, you're not going to buy two fans. Unlike if I'm a garment player, if I discount a shirt, you may buy two shirts. So I just think that discounting industry is only hitting its bottom line, is not growing its top line. It is only trying to shift from each other. But also, while we're not leaders in that, we're not going to cede market share if somebody does that. So we will defend our position, but we'll never be leaders in that. But that's a more tactical short-term view. I think a long-term view, which is the good part of the question, is you have to be able to move out of this game. And for us, coming from where we are, which is, goes back to what I always share that as a brand and product, you know, we are strengthening our brand and strengthening our product innovation, everything that we're doing. Last 1 year, it's a journey to actually build greater brand salience. Everything I've spoken about or shared in our deck, why we are following this multi-brand strategy, why we have a very core positioning defined for the brand, why the innovations that we talk about, durability for Bajaj or, you know, performance for Nex or lifestyle positioning for Morphe Richards, and we'll also see what we come up with in mid-lap. I think is to take the FMCG playbook, where brands will have to build brand salience back on differentiated product strategy. That said, that's not an overnight strategy. That's a 3 to 5 year strategy. That's how it play out in the marketplace. And when that plays out, brand salience in turn translates to us not having to actually do these catch-up discounts with others. We will try and hold our price points into the future. And not just hold our price points. I think pricing power is something that we'll earn for ourselves over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years. By these measures. So I do think there are very clear strategic vision on that. In, to some extent, that is different from the commentary I hear from competition. Everybody is free to take their own, you know, approach to these things. But we are very clear that we don't want to be trapped in this discounting game. And we will work ourselves out of that by these measures, which are not short-term measures. They have to be done the right way over the right period of time. So hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the detailed answer. Just one thing, anything about the new brand, the new premium brand that we have introduced? The deck is a bit silent on that, so any update that you would like to share on that? Any progress? Yeah. Thank you.
That brand is next. You know, we've done a soft launch, which we announced it earlier, but the real test of that and push from us will come in summer because it's a fans category. That's when you really communicate with the consumer, and that's when we have more to talk about that product. But like I said a couple of questions earlier, you know, the best test for that right now is not the brand side, because that communication will kick in later, but the product side. You know, welcome to test out the next product, you know, fan. Looks better, performs better. You can't ask for better.
Oh, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. The first question I had was with respect to the competition. Now, is this discounting very evident in particular category, or it's across the categories? And also, it is in particular region, or it's across pan-India?
So actually, it is across categories and across regions. You know, it's not being unfortunately led by the weaker players, but a couple of the stronger players are the ones who are leading it, which is why we are matching up to that there. But again, I think sometimes it's a sign, I'm repeating myself, sign of market. I don't think anybody wants to indulge in that. I do think it's the first opportunity of, you know, discontinuing. These are tactical schemes. These are not pricing. If you look at most discount announcements, the competition also, they're typically at a scheme level. So the moment, you know, these market picks up, it's very easy to withdraw schemes such as these.
Understood. And you said 400 to 500 basis point gross margin improvement. Was that a YOY comment, sir?
So it's been a trend across the last 2-3 quarters that we've seen. It doesn't follow through, like I said, because then it gets lost in the scheme. But otherwise, it's a mix. It is YOY, but it's a mix between really product mix improving and some of our, you know, moving into segments where we are not operating in.
Right. Where I was, I mean, my follow-up question was, you know, this margin improvement, is it part of the reason is the raw material cost reduction, or it's purely premium?
No, so this is not to do with RM reduction. This is portfolio mix and our VAV, etc., not the RM part.
Okay. And coming back to the discounting part, I mean, you know, the kind of cost reductions what we have seen in general, given the raw material prices kind of cooled off a bit, is that already been passed out fully or by the industry, or you think some of that is actually retained and being reinvested?
I mean, it's notional to try and correlate how much of RM is passed on versus not. It comes back to, if you look at it holistically, clearly the industry is taking money from its own pockets and passing it back to the market at the cost of its margins. Now, we can notionally say from which bucket or which pocket it's come, but net, if you look at either the, is the discounting more than the RM reduction? Yes. Is the price increase adequate to where you had cost increases, let's say fans or other categories? No. So whichever way you've cut the cloth, the fact is, you know, you've passed on more to the market than what you earned back by RM or what you've, you know, should have rightfully increased prices by.
Got it. And just one clarification, you know, with respect to fans, has there been any change in the pricing in September, October or November? Or is there any plan?
I'm not sure I understood the question. My change in pricing, you mean
in terms of is there a price increase?
No, we've not taken any increments or anything of that sort.
Not taken any price increase?
No.
Okay, understood. And just one more question with respect to lighting business. You know, in terms of this price reduction, 15-20%, while the cost reduction is 8-10%, again, it's a purely weakness in the demand, or is there more to do with anything else in terms of competition or anything, a new competition?
So I think in this case, it's both. It's weakness in demand you've seen last 4 quarters in B2C lighting, but this price erosion has happened only in the last 2 quarters. Okay? It's partly to do with technology and partly to do with competition.
Got it. And just one clarification with respect to portfolio, where are we compared to the leaders? Are we all at par now in terms of product offering in lighting?
Are you talking lighting?
Yeah, lighting and luminaire, basically.
We are about 90%. So there is yet
90% we are there.
Upper end of value-added lighting, decorative lighting, I'm not naming those products, but you probably understand, which we are not in. But I think this journey too, we can't leapfrog to that. From where we are coming, we need to, you know, from the lamps, we need to just build in the recessed panel, DOVs, etc. before we can move to the upper end of that, because we'll not be accepted in that right now.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lux Jain from Plan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Lux.
Am I audible?
Yes, Lux.
Yeah. So my question is related to the EPC part of our business, sir. We have made net profit of, not loss, in fact, 4.4 crore instead of 3.6 crore of profit year on year. And we were very vocal on, becoming break even from a bit point of view. And again, we are incurring losses. So when can we expect this sustainable positive EBITDA and some reasonable profits? This is my first question.
Yeah. No, so Lux, thank you for asking that question. It allows me to clarify. Firstly, this is 2 months data, July and August. Secondly, this is because it's a transition quarter. In this quarter, as we move from Bajaj Electrical to Bajaj, a lot of the client contracts, etc., needed to be novated and transitioned. That's a process across whether it's the transmission side, power grid, etc., and also the distribution side. Till that process of novation, conversion, system changes was not done at both ends, the client also has to do that. There's a fair amount of billing or invoicing or product supply that was held up. We're not able to build that in Q2 because we have to dispatch in a new name. They have to do the GRN in the new entity name, and that whole loop has to be closed. So we've lost certain amount of revenues and sales in this period. A lot of that will be caught up in Q3. Our order book, in fact, has significantly grown. We've made various announcements of new orders that we've got in that business. So as that billing kicks in, the transition gets over, you will see a sharp uptick, in the coming quarters on that revenue, and that flowing directly to a smarter, better bottom line. And Second, there have also been one-off transition costs in this. There's a lot of duplication that's happened initially set up on IT people, offices, certain amount of, I wouldn't call it consultant fees, but just professional fees in this transition. So that's built into this. So it is not a matter of concern. It's not really an operating loss in that sense.
Yeah.
There's a one-off because of these transition and a hold-up on certain billing and activities in this quarter.
And how much was this one-time expense, sir, approximately, if you could help us with that number?
One-time expense in this quarter?
Yeah, for EPC business.
Yeah, it must be about 2 crores, but that's a one-time expense. What I'm really calling out is, we don't have a number, but let's say you had another 100 crores of billing that you could have done that was all held out in this quarter, right?
That has not flown to
the bottom line. At 100 crores also is much lower than, we're not putting out a projected number, or we put that out in the original budget deck. We're looking at almost 2x of revenues on an annualized basis this year, compared to FY23. So when that kicks in, your fixed costs stay the same or overhead, that starts flowing into the operating margin.
And that's it, sir. And one more last question. We generated 135 crore of cash from EPC business this year. So this brings to what will be our current cash in the EPC business for total as of today?
So current cash position as of today, I think it was about 10-20 crores which was left.
Okay, so 150 crores approximately. Hello?
Yeah,
sure,
we need to reconfirm.
Hello?
All right. Yeah.
Thank you. That's fine.
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Please continue.
Yeah. So it's approximately 150 crores, right?
No. So 135 crores was transferred from Bell to Bajaj, which was used into the business. And I think they are now sitting on about 20 crores of cash.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Got it, sir. That's it. These are my questions. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And all the very best, sir, for your new journey on this separate entity. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the follow-up. Sir, firstly, I would like to know what is our lighting mix in terms of B2B and B2C. I'm sorry if you set that data. I got disconnected in the call.
We'll just do the quick numbers. Any other question?
The other question, sir, is what is our alternate channel mix and what was it in the second quarter last year?
So, firstly, on the lighting, B2C is about 40%, B2B is 60%. You got that?
Yeah, yes, sir. And the alternate channel mix?
Yeah, alternate channel. So, trade is about 57%. So, rest is all non-trade, alternate channels.
Understood. So, and my final question is more of a medium-term question now. Why we did our channel checks? We definitely appreciate that the quality of the products has been quite good. A lot of our channel checks did tell us that. However, the challenge that we saw is that probably the perception of the brand is still not a premium brand, probably still an economy brand. I just want to know what's our strategy in terms of changing that perception and how are we spending our ads to build that part of our portfolio.
So firstly, thank you for the feedback, and I think part of the answer lies in your feedback. I think brand can talk itself and say whatever, but the product is a real test of whether that has changed. As that changes in the marketplace, that always has a greater weightage and impact on perception changing. The brand communication only amplifies that, but cannot deliver that perception change in the absence of real product change on the ground. If you look at product change on the ground, while we've rolled out a lot of these products, it's a process of evolution and churn. It takes 3 to 5 years for the entire portfolio to refresh. So every year, if you're refreshing about 15-20% of the portfolio, it's a 3 to 5 year period, by which time 60-100% of the product portfolio in the marketplace changes. So, you know, you start hitting a tipping point on perception change after that 3 year mark. Okay. And the best example that you'll see to how perception of a company or a brand or product has dramatically changed is two of the leading Indian automakers. I'm not naming them, but you can guess who these guys are. You know, they were not known for, they were known as cheaper, ordinary automakers, but now look at 5 to 7 years later into the journey, the perception of both of these auto companies have dramatically changed, both at the product and brand level. So in a way, that's the best proxy for you, what we are aiming for. In 3 to 5 years, you'll see us hit that inflection point or tipping point where suddenly consumers will have forgotten the old Bajaj and think of Bajaj or Bajaj Electricals and all of these brands together in a completely different way.
Understood, sir. That's helpful. Thank you so much. Those were my questions. And sir, thank you and happy Diwali to you.
Thank you. Wish you the same.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Ludhaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question. So given the current situation, you know, where we are seeing increased competitive intensity, slowdown is persisting more than, you know, we would have envisaged. And there is some change in technology on LED front, etc., which is leading to price erosion. So given this context, you know, now how you would like to revise your margin guidance? You know, earlier we were pretty confident of reaching 9 to 10% kind of EBITDA margins in near term, near to medium term. So given this situation, you know, how you are looking at the margin trajectory now going ahead?
So Chirag, I always prefer to look outside in or, you know, forward, future back. So I think over medium term, there's no change in our guidance. And I would say the reason why is because markets you can't control. So therefore, our strategy doesn't change for that. Unless my fundamental medium to long term view of the market changes. So that has all changed. I do think, you know, any economy goes through cycles. This cycle has got to change at some point of time. Unless we believe the India story or consumption story has gone away. If anything, some of these longer cycles or pain, in a way also weeds out the weaker players or cuts back the nuisance value. So if anything, if you look at from a 3-5 year perspective, this is actually better for stronger established players that cuts out the nuisance value of weaker players. So it comes back, actually comes back much stronger than had you not gone through this weaker phase. And that's why I remain confident, not just of margins over the medium to longer term, but actually with a greater upside on top line on that, you will see greater consolidation happen because of such a phase.
Right. But if I have to just, you know, extrapolate, you know, how FY 25-26 even, you know, situation improves, say, from second half, will still be near to 9-10%, or it will take more time than what you would have initially thought? Any, because see, a lot of things have changed versus say 6 months back. So trying to understand, are you, you know, changing the time period for reaching that double digit margin aspiration, or you are still confident that whenever, you know, economy picks up, we'll see this double digit margin coming soon?
So very easy answer. As soon as the economy picks up, you will see that. If the economy is in good shape by 26, you should beat that number.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So one question, if you look at, we have been emphasizing a lot on the new product launches and more towards the premium end. So probably, can you give some data points with regards to what would be the contribution, products that have been launched a year back, and probably how this would have been in the same quarter last year from the products which were launched in the preceding year?
So Manoj, we don't put out actual NPD contribution or revenue contribution of that, but it is very easy. But the best metrics for that is things like, for example, you know, when you call up category mix and you look at fans, our category mix, how that is improving, that's because on the back of new products. If you look at the new mixer that we put out, a lot of that 10-50, and then what's on the back of new products. If you look at coolers, our growth, which has been very high, it's on the back of new products. If you look at, I'll tell you two smaller categories. These don't get mentioned, but these all add up to long tail. You look at things such as personal grooming that we've launched right now online in Morphe Richards, it's taken off extremely well. If you go do channel checks on something like kettles, you know, we've really grown kettles at almost 300% in the last 1 year, etc. So these are all new products that are adding up and giving us some buoyancy. The big categories such as, you know, kitchen appliances, etc., that will kick in as the market really kicks in. But in the meantime, you know, all of these segmental launches, new products, all these non-tail products are what's driving growth for us. Yes.
Right, sir. And one last question. So probably we have been seeing price erosion into B2C business categories in the lighting segment. Do you see this as a risk even to your B2B business probably in some time or probably few quarters ahead?
Not really. So that B2C erosion is happening particularly because of this DOBE thing, which is particularly the set panelic sector. And also because there's some, you know, that's an easier entry business for, you know, new players to come in, some of whom lead that at unsustainable, you know, business models. I think B2B does have more serious established players, got a higher entry barrier, it requires more solution orientation, etc. It requires execution, project skills, etc. So I think that is slightly more insulated from this.
Right, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you. Thanks. And wish you all the best.
Thank you, Chirag.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Go ahead, sir.
So thank you. I'll keep my closing comments very brief. It's just, you know, wrap up of my opening comments. We know it's a tough environment. The results are mirroring the tough environment externally. I think internally we continue to maintain our focus on our strategic initiatives. I think the internal metrics continue to look strong. The one thing we'll not shy away from is focus on the medium to long term. Hopefully we'll not make short term, you know, myopic decisions in the interest of sacrificing the medium to long term. If you do look back at, you know, both our two-year access and performance, you'll see the merits of what we are seeing. But also qualitatively, like, you know, one of you also mentioned the call, our product profile is changing the marketplace. We do have brand scores that are reflecting that. To me, those are two biggest, most important parameters of any consumer-centric business. So getting our product and brand strategy right, I think numbers will follow based on market conditions. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Thank you very much, and good evening to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.